Galatians chapter 6. Did you have a good week? Make memories? There's nothing quite like Thanksgiving than getting everybody piled into the car and going to Grandma's house. I know the song says going to Grandma's house for Christmas, but for us, for me growing up, it normally meant going to Grandma's house for Thanksgiving. Maybe we didn't do it every year. Well, I know in Thanksgiving of 1973, we didn't go to Grandma's house because we were in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. I dare say we thought about it, though. And even though we didn't go, I dare say we sang the song Over the River and Through the Woods. Grandma's house we go. Dad knows the way. The old station wagon. Don't you miss those wood panel station wagons? Some of you are shaking your head no. Good memories. Man, they were good memories. Four kids stacked in the back seat. Somebody standing on the hump. No seat belts. Great times. And then all the memories of Thanksgiving at Grandma's house. Everybody piling in there. The noise, the kids running here and there. The food, the unbelievable amount of food. Thanksgiving. We may have forgotten in all of our celebrations what Thanksgiving was all about. Oh yeah, it's still subtly there because we put out such a big spread. Turkey. What is it? 46 million turkeys are killed annually in the United States at Thanksgiving time. At Thanksgiving time, I think it's 18 million at Christmas. It's a lot of birds. It's a lot of meat. That's a lot of money. And besides that, then there's usually ham. Going to the king's daughters, which is my mother-in-law's family, there's always oysters. You either love them or you hate them, I think. You know, it's just a great time. This year, it wasn't just family that we think of as family. This person who is attached to the family brought their family. You know, it was just kind of spread out bigger than ever. People that we had never seen before showed up. It was like a church dinner. It's wonderful. Some of us don't even bother to ask who fixed it because we were afraid that if we found out, we wouldn't want to eat it. But, you know, we just go in there and pile our food on the plate and go enjoy. It's a wonderful time. But we may have forgotten what Thanksgiving was really all about. Oh, it's still wonderful. We still have a great time building and making memories. It is a fantastic time. But really, it had to do with the harvest being ended. The harvest was over. The bounty was brought in. And they were thankful, grateful for the blessing of God in the harvest. Some people were still trying to harvest. It's called deer season. I heard some shots this morning. There's some kids here today that got their first deer this year. Thanksgiving for the harvest. Daisy joined that number this week. How exciting is that? Is it Mitchell? I can never remember which one's which, but Mitchell got a deer this week or last week or so. Is that your first? No, okay. Still got it. He harvested one. Nice one. Some even harvested predators. That's a good thing, too. Coyote down. Good job, Mason. Making memories. bringing in the harvest. It's a wonderful, wonderful time. Paul gives us something here in Galatians chapter 6 to remind us of the harvest. It's an important part for us to consider and to remember, because not only does the harvest happen in the natural world, the harvest also happens in the spiritual world. In order to have a harvest in the natural world, there has to be some sort, some kind of a planting. In the spiritual world, there's also some sort, some kind of a planting. Paul talks about that in chapter 6 of Galatians. Let's take a moment here to turn to that and read just a few verses as we look into God's word for his message this morning. We're going to begin reading with verse number 7 of Galatians 6 and read three verses. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I wish I could give to you the details of all that goes on and what went into the preparation this week for this message. And I can't do that. I wouldn't do that. It would probably bore you, at least in some sense. But this morning, earlier this morning, about 4 hours ago actually, as I was walking back and forth in front of the sanctuary, I pulled my phone out to see what time it was, and I saw that it had just clicked over to 7 o'clock, and I sighed out a prayer. I said, oh God, in 4 hours, I'm going to be standing before a people to preach this message. And I pray that God would give his anointing and his help. A man reaps the same kind of thing that he sows is what Paul is talking about. He's speaking about the harvest. But one of the things that he brings out in this passage of Scripture, one thing that he emphasizes, I believe that it's an emphatic point here that Paul wants to make, is the words, the simple words, be not deceived. They're the first three words of verse 7. Be not deceived. I can't go back into Paul's mind. I can't understand why he would have written what he wrote there and how he brought it into that particular point. But I can't help but think in my mind as I read those three words that Paul was aware that the devil uses that very thing of deception to draw the attention of people away. It's easy for us to get lost. As a matter of fact, we find it in history over and over again that the enemy, Satan himself, will come in and deceive or attempt to deceive anybody that he can. He did it with Eve at the very beginning. He convinced Eve that, well, you can go ahead and do this thing. There's not really a problem. He persuaded her that she could eat of the tree without paying any kind of a penalty. You can read it in Genesis chapter 3. And if we know our Bible at all, any amount at all this morning, we know that that choice, that decision that Eve and then Adam made right with her has created and caused a ripple effect down through the ages of time that affects you and me. We have to deal with that. God meant what he said. There wasn't any need for deception here, and yet, Eve and Adam was deceived in believing that they could eat of that tree without paying any kind of penalty. Think about everybody else that we could think about here. There's so many people that we could list, and I'm not going to take the time to list very many, but you think about Lot. Lot believed that he could go and reap the benefits of the physical world, the material world, and live the way that he lived without reaping the penalty that went along with all of his decisions, or perhaps found its basis in that first decision to pitch his tent towards Sodom. I think about Abraham. Abraham was a good man. In the New Testament, we find that he was a friend of God. We can find a commentary of the New Testament pointing back to Abraham being a good man. He was a man of faith. We find him listed as a man of faith. He believed God when everybody else would have opposed him. And yet we find that there were little points of deception. It always boggles my mind when I think about Abraham and Sarah, and he decided that he was going to call Sarah his sister in order to save his life. I mean, come on. How in the world can you get to that point? How did he get to that point that that was going to be effective? But it happens. It's called deception. Be not deceived. Over and over again, we can look at it and see and point to people, not only in history of the scriptures, but we can find it in the history of our own peoples and our own friends and our own families who have been deceived into thinking that they can participate in something that God said no to and there will not be any effect from it. The Word of God tells us that we have a choice when it comes to sowing. We can either sow to the flesh or we can sow to the Spirit. It's a choice that we each one will make. We will either make it by neglect or we will make it by intention. Now, when it comes to sowing to the flesh, you can either intentionally sow to the flesh or you can by neglect sow to the flesh. By neglecting to sow to the Spirit, you are intentionally sowing to the flesh. But there is no way that you will, by neglect, sow to the Spirit. It is a choice that must be made. And so in essence, or even we could say without hesitation, that there is an intentional choice either way. Because if we choose not to intentionally sow to the Spirit, then we are intentionally sowing to the flesh. It's just two ways. There's no other options. You can come up with all sorts of words and ways of getting around things, but there's still only the two options when it comes to sowing in the spiritual realm. That is, to the flesh or to the Spirit. Sowing to the flesh can be done in different ways. One of the main ways that a person will sow to the flesh is simply by raising up idols. Now, in the next few weeks, there's a good possibility that we're going to be looking a little more intentionally at this word of idols. But for this morning, let's just suffice it to say that when a person sows to the flesh, they are raising up idols. Idols. Now, Paul also gives us something to look at and to read and to focus on when we think about sowing to the flesh in this book of Galatians. My Bible, I don't even have to change pages. It's on the same page. It's found in chapter number 5. And in there, he gives us the works of the flesh. Boy, it's a horrible list. It's really a disgusting list. There's some things in there that it doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter if a person's saved or unsaved. There's some things in there that are disgusting to people. You know, we oppose those kinds of things and we oppose those things in people. And quite often we oppose people because they're involved with those things. But then he sums it up by saying, and such like. So he's not limiting it to these, this list, but he's giving and providing a door that opens up even further to things that are such similar to or like it or branches off of. Sowing to the flesh. What a list. What a horrible thing. I wonder, when you think about the harvest, we don't really sit down and do a lot of figuring. Maybe a farmer does, whose livelihood is in a better harvest. Always looking to have a better harvest because everything about their life is surrounded by that harvest. But for us that are just doing gardens, at least for myself, I don't sit down and figure it. One little bean seed, let's see here. I should be able to get 42 bean pods out of that one bean seed. If I pick it one time and I get 5 bean pods off of there on the first picking, then okay, I'm doing good. And then the second picking, I'll get 20-some bean pods, and wow, I'm doing great. And then the third picking, I get about the same amount, and so I'm really doing good. And then you break those bean pods open, and you count out all the little bean seeds inside that harvest. Are you with me? One little bean produces multiples. Multiples. I suppose that we could turn our attention here to Aaron back there, Aaron Hines, and he could give us a whole picture of what that harvest is all about and how the farmer focuses on that. The importance of that. But do we realize that that also comes into play in the spiritual side? That when a person sows, he reaps more than what he sows. Maybe not in this life. Maybe not in this life. You know, the Bible gives us a warning about reaping, sowing and reaping. Because sometimes it appears that the wicked is prospering. The Bible warns us about that. There might be a good reason. As a matter of fact, there is a good reason why the Bible warns us about that. Because it's easy for us to lose sight that the reaping isn't just in the present tense. You know, God tells us, this is a verse that I like to look at from time to time. Maybe you've looked at it from time to time too. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful promise. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. And we lump a whole bunch of our personal wants in that thing, in that word, things. All these things will be at, oh man, we can really go to town on that. We can really go shopping with that. And then when it doesn't happen the way we think, God, I gave you, I've been seeking you, and I've been trying to do my best to walk in righteousness, and yet I'm not prospering the way that the wicked man down the road is prospering. We may struggle a little bit to answer those kind of questions. I got my financial statement in the mail earlier this month from October, and I had to sit back on my haunches a little bit and say, how in the world can I lose money in this economy? Still don't know why. Don't know how. Just can't figure it out. Why is it that when I give myself and I give myself, why? It's not for me to question that. You see, the rewards are not always present tense, and we can lose sight of that very fact by looking at somebody else and saying, look at that, I'm going to throw in the towel because they're not serving God, they're not giving themselves to righteousness, and they're prospering. The Old Testament tells us not to be envious of the wicked, even in the midst of their prosperity, because payday doesn't just come on Fridays. It may appear that somebody is prospering. But not only does Paul tell us not to be deceived, but he also says that God is not mocked. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The devil says, enjoy yourself. It'll make no difference how you live. You can do this, you can do that. You can even do the things that God hates, he would say. But God is not mocked. God is not mocked. We can close our eyes to it. We can turn our back on it. We can say, well, so-and-so did this, and so-and-so did that, and that preacher disappointed me, and that person disappointed me, and we can point fingers to everybody and anybody and anything around us, but the point of it comes back to my choices, your choices, the decisions that we make, that whether or not we are going to sow is not the issue, it's to whether or not we are going to sow to the Spirit. Intentionally. And when we don't intentionally sow to the Spirit, then we are by neglect or by default sowing to the flesh. And he that soweth to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. And he that soweth to the Spirit, life everlasting. That's what he says. That's what he says. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Be not weary in well doing. How's your harvest looking? How's the pantry shaping up? The canned goods all in? The freezers are full? No, you've mistaken what I'm saying. I'm not talking about the physical pantry and the physical freezers. I'm talking about sowing to the Spirit, the harvest of life everlasting. How's the harvest this morning? We can dress up. We can do all of the things on the outward. But it's still God working on the inside and helping us on the inside. It's the choice that we make personally. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. In the midst of sowing to the Spirit, not only is there a reaping of eternal life, but also we can understand that salvation not only provides eternal life, but it also provides a canceling of the sin debt. Well, there still may be a few effects, some effects that carry on as a reminder, as a caution, as a warning. But the sin debt has been canceled. And I don't have to, you don't have to pay the penalty of that sin eternally. Praise God for His grace. If it wasn't for His grace, none of us could stand. If it wasn't for His mercy, none of us would be recipients. If it wasn't for His faithfulness, none of us would hear His call. But this morning, He provides His grace. He offers His mercy. He extends His faithfulness. Let's make sure of our harvest by making sure of our planting. Let's stand together this morning. I'm real hesitant to dismiss you without all opening and offering a place of prayer. Perhaps there's somebody that needs to pray this morning. Somebody that wants to cancel that sin debt at the foot of the cross of Calvary. Somebody that wants to begin planting, sowing to the Spirit. Would you come? Would you pray this morning? Would you give him your heart today? Thank you for your attendance, for your attention this morning. God will give you a good day in Him. Praise God. Aaron Hines, would you dismiss us this morning in prayer?